ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
If you are a parishioner here at St. Mary's, then you'll know that over this past year we've been working our way through the story, which is a thematic translation of the Bible. And last week, we got to the New Testament. So today's gospel passage, it's not the usual gospel passage for the third Sunday in Lent, but rather it's the gospel passage that corresponds to this week's chapter of the story. And this week in the story, we're hearing about Jesus' ministry in Galilee. He's going around and he's teaching and he's preaching and he's sharing many parables. And the parable today is an encapsulation of Jesus' work, right? He's going about and he's spreading the word. And there will be some people who just do not take his word in, reject it outright. There will be others that do take his word in, but then somewhere along the way they fall away. And then there are others who take it in, hear it, listen, inwardly digest it, and then bear the good fruit of discipleship and work to bring about the kingdom of God that Jesus preaches. So you can understand why Jesus gives this parable and then gives his interpretation to his disciples. Right? Because his disciples are going to be the ones who will have to continue Jesus' ministry. They're the ones who will have to continue to preach and teach about Jesus Christ and his life. And Jesus is saying, you know, there will be people, like, say, the Pharisees, who will hear this message and they will just never accept it. There will be some other people, like the rich young man that we're going to hear about in Luke chapter 18, I believe, who love this message, who cry out, you know, I've kept all the commandments since my youth. But then when challenged to take the next step, you remember that rich young man who was challenged to sell all his belongings and give the money to the poor. He just couldn't do it. The riches and cares and treasures of this life distract him away from the word, and he turns away from God. And then there will be some, like you, my disciples, who will hear this message and through much endurance will create good fruit, will be a part of my kingdom. Might be a good message for his disciples to hear, especially because they are going to be engaged in evangelism. This is what evangelism is about. Go out there and spread the word. Don't judge who should or should not receive God's message. Give it to everyone. And just realize that there's going to be some people who don't hear it, and that's okay. It's even expected. So it might be good for Jesus to share this with his disciples. Might be good for Jesus to share this with us. We are also engaged with evangelism, right? But I believe there's a better interpretation of this parable. You know, parables are God's gift to the preacher because there's always more than one interpretation. Parables are metaphors. They're lenses through which we understand a greater reality. And Jesus, of course, gives his interpretation to his disciples because they need to understand the greater reality of what evangelism is going to look like. But remember that Jesus preaches this parable to a great crowd. People come from towns and towns. And he doesn't give them the explanation. He's left them to figure out what this parable means all on their own. And with no offense to our Lord and Savior, if I heard this parable without any interpretation or explanation, the meaning that Jesus gives is not the meaning that I would have come across. In fact, I think his meaning isn't the most apparent or even the most productive interpretation of this parable. If I heard the parable of the sower without any interpretation, I probably would not have thought that I was the soil that received the seed that was God's word. I would probably assume that I was the seed planted by the divine sower here in this world. Think about it, right? We, all of God's children, have been planted in this world. And we've been planted in many different environments, in many different soils. some of us, by virtue of our birth, which is just chance, have been planted, find ourselves in an environment that is rich, that nourishes us, and that promotes our personhood. Some of us have been privileged to find ourselves in good soil, whether that privilege is one of class, or education, or gender, or race, or community and society. All of us here are residents of the United States of America, which is pretty good soil compared to the billions of people around the world who have been born into developing countries that are rife with starvation, with famine and disease. All those places in this world that are full of rocks and thorns that prevent the development of human growth. But, you know, as good as our soil is here in America, we also have our stones, our rocks, and our thorns. In this country, if you're a person of color, you have it harder than others. Women have it harder than men. People who are differently abled, or anyone struggling with illness, people who are queer, people who are members of a religious minority, people who are poor, or people who are homeless, these are people, when they look around, they see hardness. They see an environment that does not automatically comfort them and nourish them and feed them the way that the rich, rich soil of America's culture feeds American hegemony. The divine sower has planted us all into this world, but the reality is the world is not equal. There are people, by virtue of birth, who have been planted in good soil. There are others who find themselves lost and forgotten among the stones and the thorns. And there are some people who from the moment of their birth know nothing but pavement and a sun scorching down, drying them up of all moisture. There are people whose lives are nothing but being crushed under the heel of others and being devoured by those who circle above them. That's the reality of this world, folks. And that's why I think this interpretation of the parable is so much more productive. One, because it's truer to life, right? It more forcefully speaks to our world. And that's true of today, and it's true of 2,000 years ago. If you were a Galilean peasant in the first century and you heard this parable, the first thing you would think of is the rocks, the rocky soil in which you were living, breathing in that dust, especially in comparison to the rich soil of the Roman oppressors. More true to life, but I think also this interpretation of the parable helps us to become better disciples of Jesus. Firstly, it saves us from the presumption that we are the agents of our own production. I am not going to laud myself if I produce 100-fold, because I'm aware that my soil had a great deal to do with that production, with that yield. Likewise, I'm not going to critique my neighbor who produces less than me because who knows what rocks and thorns have been in his past. Secondly, this interpretation encourages us to grow, right? If you're presented with a parable and told you are an inanimate object in it, I would much rather be the seed than the soil, because seeds at least grow. They mature. They have the potential to produce new life. Within a seed is that germ of new life. Soil is just decaying plant matter. We human beings grow, we mature, we have the potential to embrace new life. And, you know, we're not inanimate objects. So we actually have more potential than seeds. If we take this call to grow seriously, I think this parable can lead us to think we can actually be gardeners, right? To not just grow and change, but to grow and change the soil that we encounter. Not just the soil beneath our feet, but the soil beneath our neighbor's feet. I think Christians are called to find, to seek out rocky soil, the place where there are thorns. Dig out those rocks, to tear out those thorns, to enrich the soil, to fertilize it, to aerate it, to till it up, to make it more fertile, to find those structures within society that are prohibitive to human growth, and to renovate, to make them new. This church, St. Mary's, does that, both in the real and in the abstract. You look out there, we have got some gorgeous gardens. In the spring and in the summertime, the number of blooms is uncountable. It's gorgeous. It wasn't always that way. 120 years ago, there was nothing out there but a fetid bog filled with decaying plant matter and weeds. But over time, that bog was sort of drained, the water was redirected. The weeds were torn out, the soil was tilled up, hundreds of thousands probably of bulbs have been planted, and the fruit of that effort can be seen every spring and summer. This church has done that really with the garden. We also do it in the abstract with the soils around us. This summer, we have the opportunity in our adult forum to learn about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, to examine the issues in the stony soil that has been stony for millennia, and what we as Christians here in Cape Cod can do to contribute to justice in the Middle East. In 2 weeks' time, the youth group is going to be engaged with the Federated Church in Hyannis, with Youth Street Reach, and homeless work. And this week, this very Friday, there's a workshop here at this church to deal with addiction issues and spirituality for anyone who wants to learn how to work with those who are addicted or are in recovery and how to address their spiritual needs. And these are just three examples of the way in which we as a church are going to be addressing the stony soils around us, both here locally and globally. Now, it's a beautiful day outside. Winter has been pretty mild, and we had an early spring. So I think it's time that we put on our gardening gloves and get out there. Four more weeks of Lent, guys. That's it. In these 4 weeks, I'm going to encourage all of us to think about our soils. Not just our soil, and the good soil that we've received, but also the stones in our past, the thorns that we've dealt with, and especially the stones and thorns around us, those that afflict our neighbor, and with endurance, produce good fruit by making a good garden. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.